get started, and other people, if they join, Jay will tuck them away somewhere. So I would like to call to order the August 31st meeting of the Energy and Environment Committee. And Fawn, would you quickly call the roll, please?
I will. Chairwoman Mana Jo Green.
Present.
Deputy Chair Mary Wuro.
Here.
Al Bruno.
Why, yes, I am.
Peter Criswell.
Here.
Here, and Laura Petit.
Here.
I also just want to take a moment and find out, we have a caller at 6071. Can I get your name?
Sure. It's Josephine Papagni and Shabazz Jackson.
Okay.
Oh, hey, guys.
Hi.
Okay, with that, I would like to ask that we stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance
to the flag
of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And has everyone had a chance to read the minutes of the August 3rd meeting? And could I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes?
I'll make a motion we approve the minutes from the August meeting.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? Motion carries. And then tonight's resolutions. Let's start with the first resolution, resolution number 242, approving the Ulster County Local Solid Waste Management Plan. And that actually relates directly to resolution number 323, and we have been notified that the county legislature needs to do a secret process before taking action. And so that resolution is declaring intent to act as lead agency under the State Environmental Quality Review Act for the review of the draft Ulster County Local Solid Waste Management Plan. And I expect there may be some questions, so I think the order might be to, before we decide what we're doing about resolution number 242, to ask for a motion to, for purposes of discussion, to move resolution number 323 for purposes of discussion so we can discuss that and then decide what to do about 242. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
I see some nods. Okay.
I'll make
so,
that
move. Great. And the second?
I'll do it.
For purposes of discussion. I think it probably makes sense to ask Attorney Dave Gordon to just summarize the research and the correspondence that has led to resolution number 323. The seeker resolution for the local solid waste management plan. Unless somebody else has a comment before we go or a question, and I think maybe getting a little background would set the stage well for this discussion.
Yeah, can I say something, Manager?
Yes, please, Fred.
Well, I'd like David to be able to explain this because we have two emails.
from DEC saying that we don't need the DC Corps. And he well knows as an attorney, it is no action. So we're not taking any action with the solid waste plan. It's just a plan. If we did anything, if we took any action, then of course we have to have SECR. But I don't understand why he's saying you need SECR for the plan when DEC came back from two separate people at DEC and said it wasn't necessary. And now all of a sudden David says it's necessary. So I'd like an explanation with his interpretation of the SECR process.
Okay. Well, first, I'm happy to do that, Fred. First, I just want to explain to everybody in the committee, especially the relationship of the two resolutions, because Manna alluded to it, but it wasn't clear. We have two resolutions before us. One of them would approve the solid waste management plan, and the other would essentially start the SECR process for the solid waste management plan, which would be distribution of our intent to be lead agency. The basic point for you guys is we should only pass one, and the whichever one you pass depends on whether you believe that this is subject to SECR, which is what I would advise. If you believe it's subject to SECR, we should circulate a notice of intent to be lead agency. If you don't, then you're free to go ahead and consider the local solid waste management plan. So it's really kind of either or. If you recall, at the last meeting, we were considering the resolution to pass the solid waste management plan when Amanda LaValle observed that a solid waste management plan is subject to SECR. And she had some pretty good points about it, and I later verified that she was correct. There's a long line of law that indicates that a solid waste management plan is subject to SECR. And to answer one aspect of Fred's question, there are certain plans, certain things that, are not going to result the next day in specific environmental impacts, good or bad or otherwise, no physical impact, but they're just plans. And in some cases, they're type one actions. And a good example is a town comprehensive plan, even for that matter, a town zoning ordinance is not going to result the next day in dirt being moved. And if you look at the first item, in the type one list, there are some plans that are subject to SECR and in fact are type one actions. And one of them is what's called the comprehensive resource management plan. And in prior years, these local solid waste management plans are considered type one actions under this category. So it's just not true that because it's simply a plan and any future actions are going to be subject to SECR, that therefore the original plan is not subject to SECR. Sometimes that is true, but in this case it's not true. And Amanda was correct, and there are a lot of solid waste management plans that have been subject to SECR over the years. Now, as I understood the RRA's position on this, both coming into the meeting and also we did some substantial looking into it after the meeting, the position was essentially, and by the way, Fred, I want to get to your comment that there were two DEC officials that commented that it was not subject to SECR. I found we have the communications from one of them, but not the second one. And in fact, the second ones that we were communicated with, which was at a much higher level, the DEC General Counsel's office indicated that it was. But what happened after that, the position of the agency.
What's that, Matt?
Excuse me?
Who is 845? Hold on a second, Dave.
Who is the caller? 1750?
Can we mute everybody?
I just need to find out who the caller is at 1750.
Is that Joanne Meyer? Do you know, Manna?
I don't know. It's 845-532-1750. Could you unmute, tell us who you are, and then go back on mute, please? And I can't check while I'm on the Zoom call. So, all right, Dave, please continue. We'll figure it out.
Okay. There were several justifications that were mentioned by agency folks in emails, et cetera. But the primary one was the one that was discussed by I think some. Directly some agency folks, but more than that, it was done by Mark Swyka and by the DEC associate engineer who was, I believe, responsible for reviewing the agency's solid waste management plan. And I called Mark because essentially Tim DeGraff had suggested that in an email after the meeting, and I spoke to him at length. And then subsequently, I spoke to the DEC engineer who was responsible for reviewing the agency's management plan, in part because Fawn reached out to her. And so there were just a number of communications for these were the people we should speak to. And I understood very much what the main agency position was on this. And that was that it's important to understand there are two sets of regulations. There's SECA regulations, and there's also solid waste management regulations. And the agency, the approval of the solid waste management plan is under the solid waste management regulations. In a prior set of regulations, there was a requirement to submit certain SECA documentation to DEC as part of the approval process. Not all SECA documentation, but just certain SECA documentation. And in the most recent regulations, they don't reflect that anymore. That requirement to submit a SECA finding statement is not in the current regulations for approval of a solid waste management plan. And based on that, the DEC engineer and other folks believe that therefore that they were essentially exempted from the SECA process entirely. I didn't think that that was true. And so I asked her whether her opinion was based on her own opinion or whether there was any sort of DEC guidance on that, any sort of agency, because it's a very significant opinion. It means that all that whole previous history of preparing seeker reviews, environmental impact statements, would have been essentially abrogated simply because you don't have to submit a finding statement as part of your application process anymore. And what happened next was that I was just looking to see if she was going on any guidance that she had gotten from attorneys or from higher ups in her department, the solid waste management department. And what we got next was an opinion from the attorneys, which actually is not something I had even asked for, only if she had had one. But they wrote back and they clarified that the change in that regulation did not exempt the agency from doing a SECA review. And that just clarified and confirmed what we had already thought, which is that there were two different sets of regulations, the SECA regulations and the solid waste management regulations. And the fact that the solid waste management regulation had changed didn't put this thing on the type two list. And it was therefore in the same position as it was before. You just didn't have to send anything to DEC, and that the engineer just misunderstood her role.
I didn't hear anything.
I'm sorry?
You can keep going. It's somebody's phone or
Alexa.
Something.
And so that was basically that. We looked very carefully into the. There were other comments as well. I think one person, I think it was Charlie, had mentioned that DEC approval of this solid waste management plan indicated approval of the seeker review, and that's just not true. And a way to think about it, to understand it more fully, is that DEC does not typically review seeker, does not approve of seeker reviews. If you're on, for example, a city planning board or a city council and you do something subject to seeker, like a subdivision approval or a zoning law, you don't send that up to DEC and they don't approve it. Seeker is a separately jurisdictional requirement that you have to do unless you're in the type two list. And this just isn't. And it turned out that the opinion that you had originally gotten from DEC, the DEC engineer, was simply not correct. And it's subject to seeker. It's basically bottom line. We had, we looked at everything that the agency submitted. I was in contact by email with Ken. I sent him a couple of messages on this, and both times he came back with a very cursory statement that we're not subject to it. And we've looked at the We've looked at all the, you know, arguments, and it's clear to me that based on the logic of the law, it's subject to seeker, and DEC's confirmed that. So, Fred, I'm interested in the second opinion that you mentioned that you'd gotten from DEC, because we only saw the one from the associate engineer, Miss, I think her name was Munar Moreno. I forget the exact name of the Spanish name, we both looked at it, and I talked to her at some length, and so we do understand the contention. It's just not correct.
What about the email from Chris Horan?
That's the one I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, his email said that it wasn't necessary either unless there was a specific action that we're going to take place under seeker.
No, that's not what it said. I mean, well, I'll pull it.
Okay.
Up. That's helpful. That's okay. The one I'm talking about.
Hold on a second. Could you actually, if it's not too much trouble, just read the closing sentence of his memo, because I think that's where it was made most clear. And Fawn, you were able to send that over to the agency beyond Dave's communication with Ken Gilligan before you left. Were you able to send? Yeah. So the agency has both correspondences, and if Dave would just, and I want to stress while he's looking.
You have to pull it, yeah, I have to pull it up.
Hold on one second. I just want to say something for clarity and context. It's not the legislature's place to decide what the agency did or should have, could have, would have. That's the agency's responsibility, but it is our responsibility to take legal and appropriate action as we are being asked to approve the local solid waste management plan. So what we primarily were asking Attorney Gordon to look at is what action, you know, whether or not the legislature needed to do a secret process on the resolution that's been in front of us for a while now. And he did thorough research, and I don't know if you've been able to find that one closing paragraph.
I'm looking now, Anna. It's
okay.
My emails.
While you're looking, I'd like to first ask the members of the committee, to share their response, and then we can also acknowledge anybody on the agency who would like to participate in this discussion. But I don't know if any legislators.
Yeah, I just
you found it.
No, not yet. I just want to echo what you said, man. This is not, we're not commenting at all on what the agency did. We need to do what we need to do. And so, you know, the agency can take its own steps and make its own judgments, but we're doing what we need to do. I'd also point out that as I'm looking for this, just for the agency's information, and as Manuel knows and people on the committee know, we ran into this exact problem last year in a different context where we passed a very important resolution that actually passed the local law, and we later discovered that we had not done seeker on it. In fact, we discovered it in the same way that we discovered it here, because the county administration told us. And there was also, and that meant that there was, although I don't mean to be pejorative about it, there was an implicit threat of a veto, and there was also obviously a threat of a lawsuit. And we immediately, although it was very important, we rescinded that approval. We rescinded the law. We did our secret review on it, and we passed the law. So this is something that we take pretty seriously, in part because, especially when the county executive tells us this, when the administration tells us, which is what happened here, we understand what that means. They're looking at this separately. They have their own intelligence on it, and something we take very, very seriously.
Do I have the email if you want me to read the last paragraph?
It's actually the second paragraph.
Okay.
When did the?
Okay.
What is this for? The email from Chris Horan?
Yes.
Okay.
What date was that form? What date was that? Was that the 14th?
The one I'm looking at was a follow-up one that was sent on the 17th, but.
Okay.
But the last paragraph says, an action is subject to review under SEAKER if any state or local agency has the authority to issue discretionary permit, comma, license, or other type of approval for that action. SEAKER also applies if an agency funds or directly undertakes a project or adopts a resource management plan, rule, or policy that affects the environment. See 6NYCRR 617.2. The county adoption of a local solid waste management plan involves agency planning and policy making activities that may affect the environment and commit the agency to a definite course of future decisions, and is an action pursuant to 6NYCRR 617.2 that is subject to SEAKER.
That's right. And he said it in a different
way. That's my point, David. If we make any action, then yes, we have to do SEAKER. But to have the plan, the basic plan approved, according to our attorney, and I know that you and Ken might be at loggerheads over that, but if you don't have any action, you don't need a SEAKER. Only when an action comes into play.
Fred, frankly, you're misreading this communication. I thought the part that Foreign read was reasonably clear, but I can read you two other aspects of it. One is two paragraphs above that. At the end of the second paragraph, he says this, the last two sentences. The department no longer requires the submission of a SEAKER finding statement for an LSWMP. So he's restating the fact that for that approval process, you no longer have to submit a finding statement if you do one, but right. The last is the kicker. However, this regulatory change does not provide a blanket SEAKER exemption, as the local agency continues to have the obligation to consider SEAKER in its planning actions as discussed below. The fact is, he's clarifying that it is, and also I want to point out again, there are certain planning actions that are subject to SEAKER. It's not true that all planning actions are not subject to SEAKER. Certain ones are, and it's covered in the first item in the type one list.
I agree with you on that. And that's what I'm saying, but the plan is not any ongoing action until we act, until we have a plan in action.
Fred, for years, and Amanda said, this is the first thing, what she said in the meeting, and I later verified that she's correct, and you could do it by getting on the internet and just Googling it. Solid waste management plans have long been subject to SEAKER. Most of them are type one, they're type one actions. The internet is full of them. I downloaded them. A solid waste management plan is a type one action, and it has been for at least a decade, and they show up when you Google them. The idea that because you're not presumably kind of paraphrase that because you're not moving dirt with this resolution, that you're not, that the trucks aren't rolling out tomorrow, that it's not subject to SEAKER, is true sometimes, but it's not true in this instance. During the call last week, the first thing I said to Amanda was my interpretation. I didn't look at this specifically as she had done with respect to the solid waste management plan, but I looked at it with respect to the zero waste implementation plan. And I thought that was not subject to SEAKER. And she just shook her head and said, this is. And she was right.
And does she have a law degree now too? Amanda?
I do.
I know you do. I love you, David.
I'm sorry, Fred.
Okay.
It is what it is. We've got.
I'm gonna put I don't usually stop a discussion, but I think we're going around in circles. And I think we have to, again, I'd like to hear from. I really want to hear from the committee at this point.
Okay.
Any of the committee members have, my sense, which I stated earlier, is that a higher authority at DEC has told us that we have to do a secret process. That's my, after reading and discussing and hearing the arguments on both sides, that was the conclusion I came to. And I don't know, Peter,
and our
legislator Criswell.
Our attorney is saying the same thing, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, thank you.
Legislator Bruno or Legislator Waro or Legislator Petit, do you have any comments?
I mean, if our attorney is saying we need to do this, I really strongly feel that we should start moving forward with it and not hold it up in committee so we can start getting a handle on the process. Yeah, I mean, that's it. So I think we should, I mean, do you need a motion on the CECRA, the environmental review resolution? That motion?
Yeah, but before you do, I just want to be sure that the committee has had a chance to speak and ask its questions. And I see Legislator Bruno has his hand up. So hold on, hold off a minute on an actual. And I want to say that, well, go ahead, Legislator Bruno, please.
I'm agreeing with Legislator Petit. I think we have to rely on our council, and I think that's what they're paid for, and that's what we have to rely on. So I agree.
I agree.
Okay, well, thank you. Fawn, please.
I just wanted to clarify one thing that David can correct me if I misunderstood him, but if we just declare ourselves lead agency at the session, then we have to, a 30-day clock starts ticking if no one else responds. But if the RRA sends us a letter saying that they don't want to be lead agency, can we begin the process, can we move the process along more quickly that we don't have to wait the 30 days?
Well, you asked a couple of things. I'm not sure I understood it. It was posed in the best way. First of all, we don't declare ourselves lead agency in this resolution or coming up. This is a notice of intent to be lead agency. We're proposing it, and we send it out to the other involved agencies, which in this case is the RRA and DEC. They have 30 days to respond. If they don't respond within 30 days, then we're automatically the lead agency. Or what agencies sometimes do is they respond and they say, sure, you can be lead agency. And the benefit of that is that we, if all the agencies respond sooner than 30 days, then we can be lead agency as soon as we get the response from the last one. And that gets us actually started sooner. If an agency, such as, for example, the RRA, were to object or to say that they wanted to be lead agency, then we have a process where we can, it just starts a process of choice, and we could meet and choose and see who's in the best position to be lead agency. And if we can't agree at that point, ultimately the DEC commissioner can decide that question. So, but without going there, it's a 30-day period after which we would automatically become lead agency. But if we hear from people sooner that say that it's okay, which often does happen, we can move forward as soon as we get the last approval.
And before we call for a vote, I'd like to just underscore that I think there's really widespread support for acting as quickly as possible on the local solid waste plan. But it would help. And I mentioned this when I visited the agency at your meeting, and I just really want to underscore that if you decide not to to allow the county to be lead agency on its on the action that it would take with regard to approving the local solid waste plan, then that can happen more quickly than if there is either no response or a challenge. And I was trying to make that point, and I'm not sure I articulated it well enough. So I wanted to reinforce that, because this is by no means a stall mechanism, a mechanism to stall an action. It's that we are required, I think there's consensus that we, and we'll see when we take the vote, but that we're required to do CEGRA, and so we want to do it as expeditiously as possible. And the other things that relate to that will come up later in the discussion with regard to the zero waste plan, et cetera. And I also want to appreciate the fact that, you know, several board members, the chair and the interim executive director are here, because it's difficult to be sort of a liaison running back and forth. And when you hear the conversation firsthand, then I think that's a good step in the right direction of improving communication. So I really want to stress those two things. And at this point, if there are no other questions, I will entertain a motion on resolution number 323 regarding CEGRA.
I'll make that motion.
Okay, Legislator Bruno. And seconded by Legislator Criswell. All in favor of declaring intent to act as lead agency for the CEGRA review of the Ulster County Local Solid Waste Plan.
Aye.
Please signify by raising your hand and saying aye.
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 You want to vote? Okay, the motion carries. So with that, I think, I don't know, I'm never clear about whether we have to postpone or can just hold resolution number 242.
I think you should postpone it until you, until the second action is taken.
Okay.
Yeah, I agree with that, because I'll make a motion to postpone that.
Second.
Okay, all in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Anyone opposed? All right, the motion carries. Now, the next motion on the table also relates to solid waste, and it's a motion to establish a zero waste implementation plan. And I did go to the agency and say that my observation is that the Recycling Oversight Committee has been working on a document, and it's my understanding that the agency has also been working on a document. And I would prefer that we not be in the position of legislating anything around solid waste that the agency has responsibility for implementing without the agency's participation. We have the authority to do that, but I don't think that would bode well for the actual implementation of the plan. If we're all working together, the plan is going to get implemented and we'll be able to divert as much waste as possible and keep the Charlie Landy landfill. You'll excuse me, Charlie, but I fully expect to name it after you at some point. The landfill that is sited and built will last a lot longer if we do our homework now and put a very clear, implementable zero waste plan into place. So there are two documents. There hasn't been the level of collaboration that I had hoped for. And, I've spoken with Legislator Petit, who's working on the zero waste implementation plan. And I personally don't think it's ready. Plus, we will have to do secret on that as, or may have to do secret on that as well. But I, you know, I'd like to ask her to speak and anyone else who wants to speak on. So let's entertain a motion on resolution 265 for the purpose of discussion.
I'll make that motion.
I'll second it.
Okay, and so for purpose of discussion, I guess we should just vote and on purpose of, no, we don't have to vote on purpose of discussion, right? We can just move forward. Okay. We're all indicating that we want to discuss this motion, and I'd like to start with the sponsor, Legislator Petit, if you want to comment on, you know, what I've just said or anybody else has said.
Sure. Well, the Recycling Oversight Committee has opted, you know, we've decided, we've put quite a bit of work into it over the last several months, having meetings more than once a month. We did have multiple organizations come in who are very supportive. We had the IDA, we had Ulster Chamber, we had Ulster Soil and Water, and some of the county department heads who oversee environmental and economic development. So we felt it was ready to come out of committee so it could be discussed in energy and environment. And we're, you know, as a sponsor and as a group, we're certainly open for more discussion. But, you know, I would really like to see buy-in from the Resource Recovery Agency. I had hoped that through their zero waste subcommittee that they set up, that we would see, you know, more of a, I guess, a willingness to move forward, you know, upgrades to the MRF or, you know, finalization of their composting project, or because, you know, again, it's going to be really important when we're citing a final, choosing a final technology such as landfilling, that we limit it as much as we possibly can. And with that, the state has a bill that just went through the assembly, I believe, and is in Senate or vice versa. So the state is looking to see 85% waste diversion. So this is the wave of the future. The agency in their proposed capital budget did not put in funds. The upgrades to the MRF were operational. It was for scale and for a belt. You know, it wasn't for an optical sorter. There's also, as Legislator Green had pointed out, we didn't see anything in there for feasibility studies for the technology. So that's my concern. I think zero waste is the way to go. We've been doing it at New Paul. We've tripled our revenues and reduced our waste by 75%. And, you know, I'm open for input. This is a real living document and will probably have to be looked at every 5 to 10 years.
Or every 2 years as the agency reviews their own local solid waste plan. Yes, please, Legislator Criswell.
Yeah, I just wanted to publicly thank Interim Executive Director DeGraff for a really great tour of the facility, and we had a good conversation about this exact subject, and he was telling me that they're working really hard on zero waste plans right now, and what my hope is that this really is a collaborative process, and that we can find a way to everybody get on the table, talk about what's already being done, talk about what the goals are, and to create a really, really solid document that is very specific, has measurables, and has time frames, and that we can all agree on and move this forward as quickly as possible.
Great. Anybody else? Tim, please, go ahead.
Yeah, and I want to thank Legislator Criswell for participating in the tour and coming out and speaking to us. Hopefully he learned a lot and enjoyed his hard hat. One of the things that, coming into this a little bit late to the game, being the controller and trying to wrap my head around zero waste, what does it mean? What does it mean to the agency? What does it mean to the county? You know, I started digging into some research. And one of the issues that I have found with this that really concerns me for the county is the initial steps to zero waste for large diversion in the beginning relates to one, food waste, which we are already doing. The county already has a law. The state has a law coming into effect. We've put a lot of money this past year into expanding our compost operation at the same time mitigating odors. So we've accomplished goals that are in the solid waste management plan already. And then the other, and I'd really like to see us all start concentrating more on the food diversion aspect as opposed to this concept or this label of zero waste. And I think we all can agree that food diversion is a big ticket here. The other part where the large diversion came from was these private companies, NorCal Waste out in the west side, the west coast, who rebranded themselves as Recology. They were doing, number one, the collecting themselves, or they are doing the collection themselves. So I'm wondering how we would get these large trash companies to start collecting, for instance, food waste. And but one of the other items that they started doing is converting recycling over to single stream. As we've learned in the past 10 years, single stream is the main reason why the recycling industry has completely collapsed. So I'm really at a loss. And I'm not bringing this up to be contentious. I'm bringing it up because, as I said, I'm late to the game. And as I'm starting to learn this, I'm trying to wrap my head around it and rationalize it. And I just don't see how rationally we can truly divert. We're already doing the food waste, so we already agree on that. That's fine. But then the second part of it seems to be single stream. And that we know does not work. As far as the upgrades to the MRF, we're concentrating right now on, like I said, expansion of the compost program, and we have plans in place. We just received our first drawing today to create a full-blown recycling education building that will also include a demonstration area to start bagging our food waste. Let's start bagging the compost. I'm sorry. And this is a big deal because I think education is really, really important. And I think the investment in education and the food waste diversion is the most important first step before we get into anything else. I'm going to continue to learn. I'm going to continue to look into it. But this is, that's my feelings right now. I really wish we could concentrate more on the food diversion aspect, get out into the community for more backyard composting. I know Angie has gotten several grants in the last 6 months with regards to food waste, food scraps recycling, and most recently a P2I grant as well. So we have other plans to expand education from that standpoint. So, you know, we're open to listening. We're already doing some of this stuff, but I really like to stress the point that I wish we could all just concentrate on the food waste diversion first. Thanks.
I do have a comment on that, Chairwoman. Isn't it true that about 90% of your food waste is coming up from Westchester? I mean, are you considering focusing more on Ulster County so we can divert that out of our waste stream?
Yeah, and then if I can respond to that, that was one of the things I had stressed with regards to the solid waste management plan that I wanted to see included. I wanted to see us, because our, you know, people, I've heard people talk about savings with regards to the food waste. Technically, you can't count the savings on transport and disposal because it's not the county's waste, you know, the food waste. So yeah, that's why I stress with, let's start concentrating, you know, within our county and diverting that food waste. I personally find it to be the most important right now. And like I said, you guys put a law together. Let's work on that first before we get into anything else. And let's, you know, and let's do all we can with that.
That is actually in the Zero Waste Action Plan. Food waste diversion is in our 1 to 5 year goal. So it is, it's there.
And that's great. That's great.
Yeah. Yeah. So good. We collaborated.
See?
That's a process I would like to define so that we are all on the same page by the end of the year. And a lot of good work is being done at the agency, by the agency, with regard to food waste. The generator will either have to compost on site, and there's a lot of education that would go into that, or hire a hauler that will take it to a composting facility, or hire a bowler that has a composting facility. And there even, when we did the stakeholder meetings, there was a suggestion, and it's come up several times, that, for example, the Route 28 corridor, you don't want four different haulers driving all the way out and back on Route 28, and there are some large generators out that way. And the businesses themselves said they would get together and contract one hauler, which would be much more efficient, to manage the food waste for those who are not managing it on site, as, for example, Frost Valley is doing, and Mohonk Mountain House and others. But I am, you know, looking for a process where we can have the full in-depth discussion at the committee meeting, but we could do what we did to develop the solid waste law. The food waste diversion, large generator composting law. And we really did work together. The agency hosted those meetings. We can do virtual meetings, but to look at the various documents that are being developed and see if by the end of this year, and really it should be November, and ideally even October, so that we can do the CEQA process and have enough time, and Fawn has been very helpful in figuring out how to sort of backtrack from a goal of having a completed plan or plans by the end of the year. And so, you
can
know,
I say something, Mary Jo?
Yeah, please.
You know, if the county would have a truck to pick up food waste, you could pick up from the jail, you could pick up from the prisons, you could pick up from all kinds of places and bring it out to the RRA. It's in the transportation of getting the food waste out so we can use it on our composting pile. And you could divert a lot of things out of the waste stream and get it out to our composting operation.
Any comments on that? I happen to agree, but in this, you know, it does raise a lot of questions for the county itself to provide that service. And I'm not sure how the haulers would feel about it. Some might welcome it and others might feel like it was an infringement.
But maybe if you bought us a truck, maybe the RRA could do it, since we don't have the money to buy a truck to bring the food waste out. Because we don't have any bonding authority anymore.
Anybody else have any
food waste? There's a good way to look into.
I believe our jail tube is dehydrating the food waste.
That's right. Which is still compostable, and may even have a higher and better use, but there's a real good reason to dehydrate at the jail, so there's less in and out and less food waste sitting and waiting to be picked up. Amanda looked into that and, you know, came up with a solution that is really pretty specific, not that it couldn't work in other places, but because of security, there's extra.
We need to think outside the box if we're going to really be innovative. Mm-hmm.
Mary, were you ready to say something? Okay. Peter, it looks like you might be.
Mary, you're muted, Mary.
That's what I was doing. I was muting. Sorry, Peter.
Chairman Green, I do like your idea of taking this conversation offline and getting into a real brainstorming session where, you know, you can hear what's going on already, throw out ideas and really kind of pull it together. So I think that's a great idea.
I agree.
And it would be open to the committee members, the recycling. It would be similar to what we were doing with the Solid Waste Planning Commission, where we had everybody represented. And so at this point, I would like to ask if Fawn would be willing to coordinate with the agency just to set up an initial meeting. We can look at the various documents and we can see where there is consensus and where there's, you know, somebody might feel that there's a section that they're not comfortable within, and we can see what the group decides and really dig down, and then come back to this committee a month from now with a report and hopefully make progress. Peter, I saw your hand.
All I was going to say was that we need to keep that sense of urgency so we can move this forward. So I appreciate what you just said. So I think one good, really productive meeting, consolidate it, move it forward.
Excellent. And the chairman has asked for another tour, and I saw quite a few people interested, quite a few legislators who are not on either of any of these committees, but are interested. So there's a high level of interest, and I think we're moving very constructively in the right direction. And I also want to appreciate Legislator Petit, and with Fawn's help, for reaching out to county agencies and departments, and the response was positive, and there were many things they felt they could do to contribute to, you know, a waste diversion strategy, and we have that documented, and we can build upon that, including even the IDA is looking at restructuring the matrix by which, just slightly, but in the direction of promoting more sustainable practices, and that came out of that conversation. And needless to say, we have a climate crisis. So in addition to the need to send a landfill and not be trucking our waste to Seneca Meadows, there is a mandate to address the climate crisis. And this is a very important climate solution. So, let's see, either Fred or Tim, who at the agency would be the point person? And Fawn, are you willing to take that responsibility to try to set up a joint meeting?
Sure, I'll do whatever you need me to do.
If I could just... I just wanted to say, if I was wondering if in order to kick this off, rather than having the committees all meet, if Legislator Petit is available, since she already has a zero waste facility, maybe Angie and myself can get together with her and we could tour that facility and kick the ball off that way and just and deal directly with her as rather than get everybody together first. That way, if we're probably going to have more questions than anybody else, or I know I will. So I would like to recommend having that happen first.
No, I'd
let's
love to
do both, Tim.
But I think each community is different. We did ours based on the New Paltz community. But yeah, absolutely come out. I'll show you numbers and spreadsheets and whatever else you need.
And you know, but, I like that. Yeah. Okay.
That's great. We'll just later, Bruno.
I have a question for Mr. Wadola. He made a comment, it's kind of like I'm chewing on, about the county buying the RRA trucks to do food composting. Am I correct what you said, Fred?
No, I should maybe the county would buy a truck and pick up the food waste and bring it out to our composting operation, because you have so many sites you could pick up, the jail, the community college. I mean, I don't know what they do with their food waste, but I'm sure they generate an awful lot.
Okay, so my question to you at face value is, why can't the RRA make those pickups?
Because we don't have a truck to do it. You buy us a truck, and I'm sure I could get them to go and do it, Al.
Okay, I'm just trying to put things in perspective. Yeah. Like, I thought that was like your job.
I mean, we lost our bonding authority several years ago. We had a bonding authority at the agency, and I think it was 3 or 4 years ago. No, it was before my time. It was maybe 5 years ago where the agency gave it back to the legislature. We had a bonding authority of $40 million where we could go out and site for a landfill and so forth. Now, everything, whenever we need money, we have to come to the legislature and ask. And that's why Chairman Donaldson, in his state of the county address, said that he had an item there that the county's going to have to spend some money to build a landfill, because it's going to have to be all county, you know, funding.
Well, I'm just trying to understand, because I understand that my ignorance is not.
Yeah, no. I mean,
you know, I'm trying to figure it out, because the RRA at face value, I thought that was their job. And if the county's got to do it, then why do we need the RRA?
Well, you want to make it a county department.
No, I'm just trying to figure it out. So understand where I'm going with this.
Yeah. I mean, you know, we don't have the money.
If you guys have all the equipment, you guys run the land or the transfer station and the sorters and all whatever trucks you have. I see the blue trucks all over the road. You can't dedicate one truck to picking up food waste?
No. We don't have, we use every truck is in use out there, believe me. Okay, I invite you to come with Chairman Donaldson. He has 8 legislators already signed up for the tour. Come with him.
Honestly, Freddie, I would love to do that. And mind you, these are questions. These are not accusations.
I know.
And I work at a healthcare facility, which doesn't jive with the time frames of your tours.
Well, so, I'll tell you what, when you have a day off, or you want to come over after work, we'll guarantee you a private tour.
I would love to come over on a Sunday or a Monday.
Okay, that's fine. You let me know when you're available and I'll get you the tour.
Okay, thank you very much.
Anybody else? Any other comments? And, I've made a note of, you know, part of that deeper discussion offline should include the question of a truck and financing and how that would affect the haulers. I mean, I think that's part of a conversation. These are all really good points, and the fact that we're in communication is very encouraging. So Tim is going to, Tim and Angie will meet with Laura and kind of bring us a closer. Yeah. And I'm going to read over both documents and try to apply my experience, which isn't current, but it has some depth. Anything else on the zero waste implementation planning process? I want to ask if Board Member Myers or Deputy Evelyn Wright or Josephine and Shabazz, before we go on to the next resolution, which is a different topic, is there anything you want to add? We do want to move on, but I also want to give you a chance.
No, thanks, Mana. This is Evelyn.
Okay. Yes, please.
This is Shabazz. I think the offline meeting is a great idea to push this forward. And I would also like to extend an invitation, could coordinate it through Laura to look at our zero waste process and be able to add that to the discussion of a demonstration project. I think that to have a successful demonstration really puts zero waste on the table. Right now, it's it is an idea, it's a philosophy, but there's several places in the county that have the demographics that would make a very good demonstration site, and we would see what we can get as a recycling rate. So that's basically my comment.
And I want to encourage anyone on the committee, because this committee is pretty central to the progress of these pieces of legislation, to visit the New Paltz Reuse and Recycling Center, and also to visit the Greenway facility. The more we can learn from each other, I think the better the outcome is going to be. And I'd really like to see us be a shining star in terms of other mm-hmm. counties moving to Ulster County to see, oh, look what they did there. So with that, I'm gonna entertain a motion to postpone Resolution 265, establishing a zero waste implementation plan.
Make that motion.
Second.
Second. Second by Legislator Bruno. All in favor?
Aye.
Anybody opposed? Okay, that motion passes. Now we're on to a different subject that is dear to my heart, and that is resolution number 302, authorizing the chair of the Ulster County Legislature to execute a grant agreement and documents with the Dormitory Authority of the State of New York, DASNY, for the funding and construction of rooftop solar installation at UCAT, and amending the 2020 to 2025 capital program and establishing capital project number 570 for Department of Environment. And you can see I'm beaming. all right. Comments aside, I would entertain a motion to move forward with this or for purpose of discussion. Legislator Bruno and second. Legislator Warrow, any comments on this resolution number 302? Yes, please.
I think this is a very good resolution and I support it.
Thank you. And no other comments? Please, Legislator Bruno.
I'll actually second what Legislator Cruzell said. I support this as well. Yes. Okay.
Great. All right. If that is the extent of comment, Deputy Wright, do you have anything to add on this? Looks like there's a lot of support for it, but I just want to give you a chance if there's any, from the administration.
Well, we're as excited that it's going ahead as you are.
Okay, great. With that, I'd like to call the question on resolution number 302. All in favor, please signify by raising your hand and saying aye.
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 Anyone opposed? Okay, resolution number 302 passes. And then is there any new business? Okay, let's go to old business. Solid Waste Planning Commission, I think we've talked about that. Fawn, please.
I wanted to make sure you saw we sent out late this afternoon the environmental building report. I haven't had a chance to look at it myself yet, but it looks like it's got some exciting information in it. So take a look at that when you...
It's really an excellent report. I took some time with it. I haven't read it cover to cover, but I've also asked Amanda and Nick Vazda, who did the majority of the work on that, if they would summarize that at the Climate Smart Committee meeting, because it really relates very directly to the mission of the Climate Smart Committee, and then we can report back to energy and environment. Let's see. I think we've touched a lot on solid waste planning. We're not going to formally reconvene that commission. I don't see any reason to do that. I think we have a good plan moving forward, and I'm very grateful. But in terms of the Climate Smart Committee, I just want to say quickly that we were meeting regularly, sharing information, and it was kind of like a house on fire. That's a bad analogy these days, but you know, there was just a lot of energy. And it's very much needed as the global climate crisis is getting clearly worse every day. And then COVID hit. And I would have thought that it was easier for people to participate by just going to their computer than driving 25 miles to Kingston to a meeting. And given, you know, the size of this county, that was happening. So I asked the Climate Smart Committee members, myself, Peter, Betta Broad, and Cal Truman, and also a woman from Gardner who's very interested in promoting 100% participation in the county's Climate Smart initiatives. And you know, for every municipality to pass to adopt the Climate Smart Pledge and create a Climate Smart Committee, which is often just a subcommittee of the Conservation Advisory Committee. And really get active. And so we, over the weekend, really did a lot of outreach and let people know and let the supervisors in the municipalities that hadn't been participating or were participating but had fallen back because of the chaos of this pandemic. And so I think we're gonna have really valuable meeting. And I just want to mention that there's a group called Boat Builders that is offering a grant, and they didn't give us an idea about how much the grants would be, but for municipalities that haven't started the Climate Smart certification,
the approval of the plan. So. Of course, I told you that. That's exactly what they do. Yeah.
Attorney? Okay, there we go.
Great.
Thank you.
So that's coming up. There's also probably at the next meeting, because I don't think we'll have time to at the meeting this Thursday. But there's an interest in a special kind of concrete that I think sequesters carbon or doesn't release carbon. We'll find out more about it at a future meeting, but that will have implications for the county as well. Last but not least, the administration, the executive branch, is planning to recertify. We are one of the highest, best certified climate smart, not just committees, but counties in New York State. And so there are a list of specific actions that we can take that will move us at least to secure. Evelyn, it's silver, am I correct?
I think that's right, yeah.
Yeah, and to at least maintain silver and maybe even go to the next step. But Ulster County has been doing really well. And that building energy report that Nick Vazda put together is a real reflection of the leadership that the Department of Environment has taken consistently. So again, this is a partnership between the legislative branch and the county committee, which actually Legislator Petit created, the County Climate Smart Committee, which is the climate task force for Ulster County. So we're working together and we'll be doing certain events and taking certain actions and recommending certain actions. And after we have our next meeting, it'll be more clear. I'll be able to articulate that better, but I just wanted to report that back. Any other information? And this is just an aside, it's not old business or new business, but I have the privilege of mentoring 25 people, and this cohort happens to be in the greater New York metropolitan area. The last time I mentioned with the Climate Reality Project, everybody was up here in the Hudson Valley. But it's part of, we train 6,000 people in July, and in August we're training an additional 4,000 people. So 10,000 people around the world will be trained in climate reality, which is, you know, you all probably remember Inconvenient Truth that Al Gore brought forward, which states the problems. But the beautiful thing about the climate reality training is it also focuses on the solutions. And so people all over the world will be working on their, in their communities to do what we're doing here right now with solid waste and energy and a new solar system, et cetera. So I'm very appreciative. And I want to just remind the agency, it would probably expedite things if you decided that it made sense for the legislature to take lead on the secret process as we move forward. And that's not to say that if your attorney advises otherwise, you know, we'll certainly acknowledge that. But I think it's the best way to expedite moving forward. Any other last minute comments or? Well, I just want to say how appreciative I am. And we will move forward and work together. And that's what's going to get us that's gold star rating. I would entertain a motion to adjourn.
I'll make that motion.
If there are no further comments. Okay, second by Legislator Warrow, all in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all very much. Anyone opposed? Okay, meeting is adjourned at 8.04 p.m. Considering that we got a late start, we did great. Thank you.
Thank you.
Good night.
Good night.